Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, your spot for the best mixed martial arts and professional sports entertainment information. Now, please welcome to the ring your host, Mark Bland, with Matt Kruger and Andy Eckel.
Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Bland as well. I am always joined by my two cohorts.
Andy Eckel.
And
Matthew Kruger. How's it going, guys?
It's going great, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a big, big show for you. We originally had Bob Sapp scheduled. Unfortunately, Bob is in the middle of a high-end training regiment, getting ready for his match with Bobby Lashley. And so we are going to have to reschedule that. Hopefully, we'll have the interview with you for you next week. Unfortunately, we're not going to have it today. Franklin! Edges, Wanderlei Silva, and Cheek Kongo taste defeat at UFC 99. Extreme Rules delivers a ton of title changes. But I think I'm going to start off this entire show with something that is this kind of near and dear to me and Matt's heart, obviously. Andy, I think, is right there with us.
My back.
Mark has
my shoulders and my hips.
Mark, I'm going to answer all those people that think I'm a horrible person for whipping Kenny G's butt and posting that video last week. I got over 90 emails on the first day alone, so let's talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join the show, this is the premier mixed martial arts, MMA, as well as professional wrestling talk radio show in the St. Louis area on Team 1380. 314-969-1380. That number again is 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. We will talk anything mixed martial arts or pro wrestling. Get on the lines. We'll answer your questions. We'll give you our opinions. We'll do whatever we can to make you happy. But let's start off with the situation. Ladies and gentlemen, last weekend on the show, I told everybody, and Andy was here, that I was going to be posting my response to Kenny G infiltrating our radio station. And Kenny G infiltrated our radio station, a couple weeks ago? And that wasn't really cool. I wasn't even here. I was at a baptism. So I decided to take the situation into my own hands. And I attacked Kenny G. I physically attacked Kenny G, and I beat the living piss out of him, okay? And so that's where this situation starts, ladies and gentlemen, because I got over 90 emails the first day, Matt and Andy, and some of them were, man, that was absolutely awesome. I can't wait for this match. I think you're going to take it to Donovan Ruddick. Some of them were, man, I can't wait for this match. You're gonna take it on the butt from Donovan Ruddick. This dude's going to whoop your tail. So that was quite a few of the emails. Then, of course, there were those emails that I got that were just, I can't believe you did this. This is absolute BS. You need to go to hell, blah, 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 blah. You're a piece of crap, and you need to die. There's those emails. And finally, the last set of emails I got were about 20 emails. Actually, maybe a little less than that, maybe like 17 emails. From professional wrestlers in the St. Louis area. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 2 months ago when we were sitting here in these exact chairs, gentlemen, and I was challenging every single St. Louis professional wrestling heavyweight champion, nobody was coming to the mic at all, were they?
Nope.
That's why we confronted Kenny G. We put him on the spot, live on the air.
Nobody came and said a single word to me. Now, all of a sudden, cut, quick change, 2 months later, these guys are starting to notice, wow, this Mark Bland dude, he's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk, and I'm not involved. And I'm not a part of this situation. Well, you're not going to be a part of the situation. You know why? Because you're chicken. You're a chicken. You didn't step up the first time. Donovan Ruddick had the guts, after Kenny G was prodded, to step up. Donovan Ruddick's going to be the one that gets in a ring with me. And here's the other thing. Let me talk to the St. Louis professional wrestlers. Here's the deal for you guys, okay? This isn't about putting on some boots, putting on some really cool-looking costumes, you know, having a couple tattoos because you just happen to be old enough to have a couple tattoos, running around because you and the promoter are best friends and you got two of his heavyweight belts hanging on your shoulders from two different promotions. It ain't about that.
Yeah, have fun spritzing yourself with water.
It's a real deal for me. When I get into that, there's the reason guys like Shane Douglas, Randy Orton, Mark Bland, Brian Danielson, you name a list of, the reason they get to the top of this game is because when they get into that ring, they can bring it. Whether it's for the show or whether it's for an actual title or a notch on the belt. They can bring it every single week. Done. In the books. No questions asked. When I get into that ring, don't get into that ring all spritzed up with your really cool promo that you just cut on a microphone in the back. Because here's the thing. When you get into that ring, I will embarrass you. I'll take your back every single time. I'll choke you out if I want to. I will dictate whether you're good at what you do that day or whether you're bad. I will hurt you. It's that simple. You know, Josh Ray. What's going on, Josh Ray from Missouri Wrestling Revival? What can I do for you? Thanks for calling into Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Hey, I said I was going to do it. I usually catch the podcast because I live about 3 hours away from St. Louis, but I'm finally calling in.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
You hear what I'm saying here on the microphone? Here's what Josh Ray runs Missouri Wrestling Revival, ladies and gentlemen, which is kind of a partner site for us. You know, they host, thank you, by the way, for hosting the Absolute Wrestling Radio podcast each week. We appreciate that, sir.
No problem at all.
And Josh, actually, he knows a lot of the promoters. He knows a lot of the wrestlers. Some of the wrestlers that I'm talking about, which I will not name, have emailed me recently. These guys, Josh Ray, think that this is just some kind of a storyline, some kind of a game. When they get into the ring with me, it's like, okay, well, you're gonna do this, and then I'm going to do that. No. When I get into the ring, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life, and I'm going to leave you on that ring looking at the crowd wondering what the hell just happened to my life. That's what Mark Bland does. This isn't a game for me. Donovan Ruddick, I'm going to knock you out. When I get into that ring, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to put you down, and it's over with. And Josh, tell these people. Oh, man. Josh has never even seen me wrestle. Josh only. And here's the funny thing. Josh, before these guys, before I even started to try to call out the heavyweight champs, they already knew my name. They just know my name even more now, and they're realizing why they knew my name before now. So now they're getting all jealous. They're getting all angry. I'm done.
I'll tell you, they don't understand that, number one, this is going to be a hell of a match. You know, I know tensions are high. Ruddick's been kind of silent, but, you know, that's what Kenny G's for. You know, he does the talking. He's the little guy. I call him the Kevin Sullivan of St. Louis.
That's what we put an end to the Kevin Sullivan of St. Louis. You saw the video.
He does kind of look like a puppet. So,
but I don't think that a lot of people realize how good this is for wrestling in the area. You know, two guys with a name, tensions are high. You guys are going to get in that ring sooner or later. You know,
and
it's going to be something to remember.
And I'm glad that you brought that up. Two guys with a name. Here's the funny thing. One of the guys with a name hasn't even been in a wrestling ring in 5 freaking years. So you know how powerful, how strong, and how good I was at what I did when I was at the top of my game. I haven't even been in the ring for 5 years. You got guys like Jeremy Wyatt running around with 3 belts hanging from their arm talking about I'm the best in St. Louis. Dude, if you step into the ring with me, I will twist you. I will hurt you. Don't you ever think that you're going to get one up on me. The whole LWA roster, it doesn't matter who we're talking about. Tyler Black, I don't care if you wrestle for Ring of Honor. Don't get in that ring with me, because unless you got a heavyweight championship from collegiate years like Brock Lesnar or something, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to wrap you up, and I'm going to work your game. And that's it. I'm going to embarrass you in front of those people. That's all there is to it. This is not a game for me, Josh. These people think that I'm going to come out with some boots on, and I'm going to come out with my glitzy glamour, and I'm going to spray myself up, and I'm going to be, like, you know, in the back working out and looking all cool so that when I come out, I can, like, you know, blow kisses. No. I'm going to come out in a T-shirt and some wrestling shorts and wrestling boots. Straight up. I'm coming to the ring like I'm going to training. And I'm going to work that dude over, and I'm going to hurt him. And when it's over with, game's done. In the books.
Now, Mark, you and I have been around each other since basically I caught wind of your show.
About a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, and you know I'm not taking you lightly. I get along with you, and we don't hold anything back whenever we talk. I'm just telling you, just don't take it lightly, because Ruddick's a bad man. Even some of these guys that didn't take you up on the challenge, you know, they're tough guys too. So hit that ring, get your training in, and put on a show for these guys.
Hey, Josh, I appreciate it, man, and I respect what you're saying. Are we all in agreement here, my team, AWR? I mean, I'm not taking Donovan Ruddick lightly. I get into the ring every single week to get myself prepared to knock off the rust and get ready for this dude. So don't think that I think that Donovan Ruddick hasn't earned his spot. I know he's on WWE's radar. I already know this. I've already talked to the right people. I've already talked to John Laurinaitis. I already know that this guy's on the WWE's radar. But here's the thing. Ain't nobody else is. I've already talked to him about that, too. There's no one else from St. Louis that's on WWE's radar. If you're walking around with three title belts, if you're walking around with two, if you're walking around with Josh, if you're walking around with one title belt in the Midwest, and you haven't attempted to get a deal with TNA or WWE or even make a move up the ladder, dude, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah,
wasting my time, too, because I take this business seriously.
Yeah,
at a moment's notice, I will make that phone call, and I will go get my tryout. What about you? That's all I'm saying to these people, Josh. I'm not trying to downplay them as people. I'm trying to say, hey, you want to say that you're on the same level with me? You want to shoot me an email and talk to me and tell me that I'm just trying to get some free shine. I'm trying to make myself look good. No. You're just jealous because you're from St. Louis and you don't have that shine because you don't have the ability to get that shine. Don't be angry at me. You want tickets to the next show? Hell no. Are you for real? Man, that's it. It's over with, Josh.
I'll tell you, man, coming from my perspective, with a Missouri Wrestling Revival, you know I'm just trying to elevate everybody.
Yeah, I got you.
I try to bring them up and help them out what little bit I can with what I know how to do, which is talk to some degree and write to a much greater degree. But, you know, I think that the people in the St. Louis area and the greater Midwest need to appreciate what's happening here because your intensity, your ability, and your radio show with the team AWR has lit a fire under a lot of people in the area, a lot of promoters, a lot of wrestlers, and coming from me, man, I really appreciate it because it's nice to see that fire in a lot of these guys because
I understand,
like you said, you know, if you're not trying to get into TNA or Ring of Honor or WWE, you know, then what are you doing? And I think that you're bringing that to the limelight, and some of these guys are realizing that. So that's great, and I am looking forward to that match.
Everybody in the St. Louis area in the wrestling organizations have been stagnant for so long. They're treading water. They're happy with just being in St. Louis. And you know what? It's not about that anymore. If you are not on the same page as the WWE wrestlers, as the TNA wrestlers, if you are not about the title, you do not belong in this business.
I think we'll find out who is on the same page with you on that, and who isn't by the end of the summer too.
But see, I think it's a little bit more than that, Josh, and not to draw this out any longer than it needs to. But very simply, I think here's the situation. I think it's the fact that I got the connections, the power, and the big name place. I got a new video I'm going to get ready to release. Remember, Mark Bland's going to knock you out Volume 1? Well, I got Mark Bland's going to knock you out Volume 2 getting ready to come out. There's more celebrity superstars, Kenny G. There's more people that know about this. I got Jibs. I got famous rappers like Yoga. I got people that you wouldn't even think would even know the name Donovan Ruddick that now know that Donovan Ruddick exists and that he's going to get knocked out by Mark Bland.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And here's the thing. No one has ever tried to do this at this level in the St. Louis area. And now all of them are kicking themselves in the butt. And you know why? I think that they're kicking themselves in the butt because they're like sitting there going, oh man, Josh, this was a great storyline. I wish I could have gotten involved with it. No. I know why you're kicking yourself in the butt. Because you think you were the toughest dude, and next thing you know, you were like, well, shoot, this dude ain't been in the ring for 5 years, and he's bringing real heavyweights to the town. He's talking to the real celebrities in this world. And on top of that, this dude can actually walk the walk. I'm not as badass as I thought I was, even though I got two or three belts hanging off my shoulder. I'm not a bad dude. I'm a wimp. I'm not like Mark Bland. I wish I was Mark Bland. That's the situation. And Donovan Ruddick wishes he was Mark Bland. And, you know, I'm not real full of myself, but in this situation, I know where I stand and I know where they stand. It's very simple. For years, I got hated on in this town. But now, people are starting to catch wind.
They're just jealous because they ain't us.
They ain't us.
I think Donovan Ruddick needs to call us. Thank us for the FaceTime that we're giving him.
Pretty much.
Congratulations, Donovan Ruddick, for AWR giving you a little bit more recognition.
What do you think about that, Josh?
Well, he can't, dude. He's got his hand up Kenny G. I mean, you know, his puppet's going to call in. It's not going to be Donovan Ruddick.
Anyway,
I mean, even when he did call in, he only talked for 5 seconds.
Anyway, Josh.
Yeah, what's up?
We appreciate you calling us from Missouri Wrestling Revival. Ladies and gentlemen, www.missouriwrestlingrevival.com. You can check out the Absolute Wrestling Radio podcast. You can also see any of the videos that I cut and I move to the internet. You can see them there. Josh, you got a huge, huge match coming up that you were putting together in November, right?
Yeah, November 14th there in Granite City in High Voltage's neck of the woods. We're going to put together somewhat of a Midwest supercard there at the River's Edge Reception Center.
And yeah, I haven't even gotten a call about it yet. See, that's the funny thing. Even Josh Ray from Missouri Wrestling Revival sleeping on Mark Bland. And I still got the biggest
name.
That's
not the case. I've been telling you about this show forever, man.
That's true. You got
I know that ring very well. It's a very painful ring to be in for me.
Hey, you know who's going to be there, though?
Tell us. Who?
Jeremy Wyatt.
Well, he could be there. Well, yeah, because he's going to be. Who's he wrestling? Who's he wrestling that day?
Huh? Wrestling a guy who's been on your show before, a guy that I know you respect by the name of Dingo.
Oh yeah, I respect Dingo a lot. So that means Jeremy White's just going to lay down to Dingo because Dingo's a much better wrestler and a better worker. He's going to whoop his tail.
Yeah, I was about to ask who's Jeremy White going to be losing to, and
yeah,
of course,
pretty much
it would be Dingo.
Here's the thing. I don't have a question. Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with Jeremy Wyatt because I don't even know the guy. My problem is all the little talkers like Kenny G's around Jeremy Wyatt with LWA that when I'm out in public, these guys are like, well, you're no Jeremy Wyatt. No, Jeremy Wyatt's no Mark Bland. That's the difference. See, I would already be in WWE if I hadn't broke my neck. Jeremy Wyatt is still curtain jerking in St. Louis talking about I'm the biggest dog here in the St. Louis area. Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, you guys
move
know you're going to get anything you want in November. You guys just let me know, and if you want a front row seat to watching that match and
how about this?
Means,
I'll be the special guest referee for that match. I'll be the special guest referee for that match.
Let me pose this question: Jeremy Wyatt, how many people is he pulling in per show?
Who cares?
And how many listeners are we pulling in per show?
He's drawing. You got to understand that the St. Louis area, the indie scene has been kind of stagnant for a while.
I said that just a couple of minutes ago.
With him. People go to shows to see Jeremy Wyatt.
All right, well, here's the thing. You can give me front row tickets. Hell, I'll even ref the match for you. Whatever it takes. I don't know the guy personally. I don't want to be a hater on the guy. I want to give the guy his just desserts and his fair chance. I've just been hearing a lot of people talking around him. So instead of them talking around him and emailing me, it's about time for someone to step up and say something themselves. That's all I'm saying, Josh. No disrespect to Jeremy Wyatt or LWA or any of those guys. I like them. I have no problem with them because I just don't care. I don't even care about them. They don't even register because they're not Ring of Honor. They're not Dragon Gate. They're not any of the big dogs that I actually have dealings with. They're just St. Louis. And here's the thing. Just because I live in St. Louis, I don't have to be St. Louis. That's the thing. And they don't understand
that. I can respect that.
They don't understand that. There's a reason why Randy Orton comes. You know, Randy Orton. Go ahead and drink. Get pie faced a little bit more, Kenny G. Maybe you get a couple more fists in your mouth like you did this past weekend, huh, idiot? So check this out. There's a reason why Randy Orton lives here but doesn't hang out here. It's that simple. That's all I'm saying. So, Josh, I appreciate it. November, big match, Missouri Wrestling Revival. Josh, thank you so much after all these months and almost a little bit over a year, finally calling into the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Josh.
I might even try to make it 2 weeks in a row next week.
That would be awesome.
I'd love
if you can.
I would love personally, as Matthew Kruger, to be able to speak with you again next week.
It sounds great. I'd love to talk with you, Matt, anyway. I want to know how that chair shot felt.
Oh, ouch. All right, man. We'll talk to you later, Josh.
All right, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right,
Josh. See
you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Nick, what's going on? Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio. Let's get this let's get this show going. And right after this, Nick, we're going to take a quick break.
Hey, how's it going? First of all, I don't know why people continue to keep on wrestling in St. Louis if they're not going to elevate themselves and go to the big
company. That's what I'm talking about. If you're not in this generation,
you can't afford not to be in a big company if you're going to be wrestling day in and day out, and you think you're going to make a living doing that. Because come on, honestly, you can't afford to just sit there on the sidelines and act like you're a tough guy and then never get you anywhere. I mean, what do you think about that?
I totally agree with you, Nick. Like I said just a few minutes ago, if you're not in it for that big gold strap, you're in the wrong business.
And that's why I respect Dingo. That's why I know he'll be Jeremy Wyatt. That's why I respect Dingo. I respect Dingo for the simple fact of the reason. He's actually traveled to go work shows for Ring of Honor up in New Jersey, New York, and that area up there. He travels to Chicago. He travels to the South. He travels to the West. He travels and tries to make a name for himself and become bigger than he actually is. He tries to get out of the St. Louis area, Nick. And these other dudes don't.
And he's a heck of a wrestler. I've seen him live, and he respects his fans and all that. And I mean, there's some out there that are trying to make a name for themselves, and they don't even respect their fans. It's like, well, why are you even wasting our time? Because we don't even know who some of these guys out there are. And some kids go to events, and they ignore them. Like, and all kids want is a picture or something, and they won't even take it. It's just like,
here's the funny thing, Nick.
Your time, and you're not going to get anywhere.
Here's the funny thing, Nick. Josh Ray said it himself. Josh Ray has been going out to organizations for well over 2 years putting together Missouri Wrestling Revival, and he says you got two guys with name value that can draw for this match between me and Donovan Ruddick. My claim is simple. I haven't even been in the ring in 5 years in front of a crowd, and I can still draw. That's how you know that I'm up there like that. That's the thing. And so I want these dudes to understand in St. Louis, don't ever get into a ring with me and think, and first off, take what I say lightly. Think that I'm talking BS, because the minute you want to flip that switch, I will turn off that one switch, we'll turn on the other switch, and we'll see what you really stack up. And when it's said and done, if you're laying on the ground hurting with your arm ripped up or, you know, dislocated shoulder or something, that's too bad. Anyway, Nick, talk to us really quickly. What do you got on your mind?
I was just wondering who you thought the next guy out of St. Louis is going to be. Is it going to be this Donovan Ruddick guy, or is it going to be someone? What is your opinion on the future of St. Louis wrestling? I know you're going to elevate it with this match and everything, and I just hope something. I mean, I know something good's going to come out of this. And I just wanted your opinion on that.
All right, that's cool. All right,
and obviously, don't care about making anyone angry. So, anyone has anything to say, I guess you'll take it out on. Let's say one guy, you get in the ring with this guy, you embarrass him, and then someone else wants to come along and get embarrassed.
Right,
are you going to keep taking bookings, or are you going to keep
Nick,
trying to elevate yourself, the show, or just trying to elevate St. Louis in general?
Big Nick, first off, dude, Nick, thank you for calling in today. I'm going to answer all your questions right now. Nick, I'm going to answer all your questions very simply. I can do this. Knock them down.
As far as breakout stars from St. Louis, I would say probably, congratulations to us, maybe Donovan Ruddick, if he's lucky. But I would have to say either Mark Bland or Dingo.
Oh, actually, here's the situation, ladies and gentlemen. My personal opinion is, regardless of if I whoop Donovan Ruddick's butt, he's still a young guy. He's still got the look, the size, and the power. I think a guy, John Laurinaitis and WWE, they already know who he is. I think that he might get a shot at going down to Florida Championship. There's a possibility this kid might get a shot, even if I do whoop his tail. But hey, he can join a few other people on that list. As far as my show, it's going to continue on regardless. It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I know that I'm not going to be able to go on tour with WWE and TNA. But, you know, maybe I'll pop up somewhere else. You never know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is Absolute Wrestling Radio, www.absolutewrestlingradio.com, 314-969-1380. You can be like Nick or Josh. Join us on the lines. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to talk UFC 99, man. It's time to talk Brown Faber. All of it. Or Pulver. I don't know. All of them. We're going to talk. I'm so wrapped up. We'll be back.
This is Sanjay Dutt, the Guru, and you're listening to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio. If you would like to join us here in the studio, give us a call at 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. Thank you very much for listening. These are my co-hosts.
Oh, yes. Mark Bland and Andy Eckel. And Andy, let's talk, dude.
UFC, man.
Let's
Come
talk
on.
Some UFC 99, bro.
Oh.
Silva versus Franklin. How many decisions did we have? How many?
7 decisions, 5 finishes, and basically it was a night of great matches ruined by a bunch of decisions.
For the inaugural UFC event in Germany, Rich Franklin and Wanderlei Silva impressed the crowd in attendance as two former champions battled out in an absolute war that saw Franklin gut out a unanimous decision win in a great fight. Too close to close out the show. This is the second time that we've seen Franklin overseas go to a decision. This is the second time. He seems to go to a decision a lot. But you know what I love about Rich Franklin?
Well, it's only his
last two fights. He backs himself up. But he backs himself up. The guy can fight. Like, the guy really is solid.
Well, he's only lost four. He's only lost to four people.
Yep.
Dan Henderson, Anderson Silva twice, and Lyoto Machida.
Yep.
Anybody else that can say that they've only lost to those four people, you're pretty good.
It was obvious from the opening moments of the fight that both Franklin and Silva were going to throw everything they were trying to at each other and give the German fans an exciting event to remember. Franklin did exactly what he needed to do to avoid Silva's power as the Cincinnati native landed good shots and then backed away to avoid the flurry of punches from the Brazilian. In the second round, it appears Silva is going to have his big moment as he rocked Franklin with a heavy punch, and as the former middleweight champion stumbled back against the cage, he looked rocked and in definite trouble. With both fighters starting to feel the first 10 minutes of the bout, Franklin Silva had to know that the third round was likely to be the deciding factor in the fight, and they came after each other with reckless abandonment. Silva threw his hands up at two different points in the round to hype the crowd as he stepped forward trying to land the finishing punch to his opponent. To Franklin's credit, while he wasn't afraid to engage, he did a good job of hitting a shot and moving out of the way to stay away from any danger. The end of the fight brought one of the most exciting exchanges as Franklin and Silva against the cage. The Brazilian started winging back elbows, and the former 185-pound champion in return threw big uppercuts as time expired. In the end, Franklin got the win in a fight that fans will enjoy for years to come. And in the night's co-main event, Cheek Congo was again victimized by his horrendous, and I mean horrendous, ground game as he was basically manhandled by Cain Velasquez. Let's talk about some of these results. Let's get the results, Andy.
All right, well, he got Rich Franklin defeated Wanderlei Silva, unanimous decision. Cain Velasquez defeated Chick Congo, unanimous decision. Crow Cop defeated Mustafa Al-Turk, TKO strikes, which is actually
about that in a minute. Yeah.
Kind of a blow because he actually poked him in the eye. Mike Quick Swick defeated Ben Saunders versus TKO strikes. Spencer Fisher defeated Carl Uno, unanimous decision. Dan Hardy got lucky and paid off one of the judges and beat Marcus Davis via split decision.
Wow. That's
Terry
an opinion.
That's a little slanderous.
Justice Bolscholtz via submission, Darsh choke. Dennis Silver, Dale Hart via submission, rear naked choke. Paul Taylor over Peter Saborda, unanimous decision. Paul Kelly over Rollo Diagato, unanimous decision. Stefan Strife over Dennis Stojnik, submission, rear naked choke, and John Hathaway over Rick Story, unanimous decision.
All right, let's talk about the three big ones. First off, Miracle Kokop gets the win against Mustafa Al-Turk, turns around and tells Dana White afterwards, Andy.
Oh, no. The best part about it is that a month ago, when he texted Dana White, he said, I'm ready to return. I want to come back for one fight only. I want to fight in Germany for you. All right? So Dana White apparently put him up against Chick Congo first, and he said no. Then he put him up against Cain Velasquez, and he said no. And then he finally put him up against Mustafa Al-Turk because whoever he was supposed to fight originally ended up getting hurt. So that's how that all came about. And he said that's fine. He only put the pen to paper for one fight, but they were talking about two fights after that one.
Right. Okay.
And
what did you
unfortunately,
do?
Mirko Krokop texted him after the match as he was leaving the arena and stated, I'm going to Dream. He signed a three-fight he signed a three-fight deal with Dream. So, that's it. Krokop, you're done. I don't think we'll ever see Mirko Krokop Flipovic in the UFC ever again.
Now, the Cain Velasquez Cheek Congo fight. Very good fight. I was entertained. Chick obviously delivered what Chick does best. Unfortunately, Cain Velasquez was not having any of it. The ground game really hurt Chick bad.
Here's the deal. This is why I like Cain Velasquez so much. He said that he was not happy at all with his win yesterday. And why wasn't he happy with his win? Because it went to a decision. It's the first one of his fights that's ever gone to a decision, so that does prove that he can go the distance. But anybody who sits there and says, I'm not happy with the win because it went to decision. I mean, even in his last fight where he beat the guy by TKO due to strikes, he still said he wasn't happy with his decision. You know, this is a guy that I'm telling you right now, I bet the next heavyweight match we see him in is going to be against Shane Carwin, and the winner of that match is going to get a shot at the title, whoever the title shot is going to be.
Now, interesting thing also as a side note that Matt brought up, the Darce choke. Matt just brought it up to me in my ear. You don't see a lot of Darce Chokes finish off fights. It doesn't happen too often.
No.
And you got one last night. You got one with Etim over Buchholz. Over Justin Buchholz. That's a very interesting way to finish it off. Now, the final match of the night, Rich Franklin versus Wanderlei Silva. Good fight between these two. Rich Franklin always delivers a great fight, in my opinion. And
it was a different Wanderlei Silva.
I think it could have gone either way. I really do. I mean, Rich did a good job.
It was definitely all Rich, but it could have gone either way.
There was a couple of times when Wanderlei came out.
It was a different Wanderlei Silva.
There was a couple times, Andy, when Wanderlei came out, he threw some really big shots, really kind of took Franklin off of his game, and I thought, wow, this could be a deciding factor. This could be something that makes the judges go, okay, if we're going to go down to the wire on this one, I'll give it to Wanderlei.
Well, unfortunately, that's not it, you know. But you know, it's a different Wanderlei Silva because usually when he comes out, he goes out to finish the fight.
Right.
Whether it be him getting knocked out or the other person getting knocked out, he goes out to finish the fight.
He's a knockout artist, and unfortunately, Franklin's good at evasiveness. He's a very evasive fighter.
Yeah, but it's not only that, but it's also that Wanderlei Silva actually wanted to win that fight because he knows he needs it. He's 1-4 in his past 5 fights.
Yeah, Wanderlei really hasn't put up a great record. So, let's go to the phones. Darnell, welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How you doing, bud?
Okay. Let's talk about wrestling for a bit.
What's that?
You know what happened to Shawn Michaels? We haven't seen him since WrestleMania 25. I don't know. He hurt or he's coming back or what?
Who's this again?
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels is taking a break. He is, you know, fairly beaten up right now. He's not going under, you know, any surgery. He's just, he's taken a lot of time off. You know, he's earned it. He's been putting in his time a lot recently.
Yeah, he pretty much worked all last year. The entire year.
Him
and The Undertaker both.
Yeah, for somebody who was, you know, claimed to have his career ended, you know, 10 years ago, he's been working very, very frequently, putting on the show-stopping that he always does. And from what I hear, he has his children, he has his wife, and he just wants to spend some time with them. And from what knowledge that I know, he's just talked things out with Vince, and he's just taking some time off. He's rehabbing, you know, his back is bad, his knees are broken up. And he's just taking some well-earned time off,
I think. Daryl, just as a side note to that, you see that a lot after WrestleMania.
Yes.
You see the big names.
One hell of a job on this radio show and everything.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And you know what? One more question about Kane. You know what happened to Kane, Ben? Haven't seen him on TV lately.
Kane, with the knowledge that I know, which is very extensive, I might say, Kane is also just taking some time off. They don't really have anything for him to do right now, and I don't know if anybody's heard this, but he's going to be retiring. I mean, I don't know how many times they've tried to run this angle, but I think it's fairly certain this time. He actually wants to get out of wrestling and become a politician. Yeah. There's a couple of videos out there, if you look for him, actually show him speaking and being intelligent and not being the crazy big red monster.
And what about his brother, The Undertaker?
He's in the same boat as Shawn Michaels.
Undertaker's actually going through surgery right now.
He went on surgery, but he's just taking the time off as well.
He just now came off of his crutches, last week.
All right. Rob Van Dam going to come back in time soon?
Rob Van Dam is right now in talks with TNA, man.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah. Hey, Daryl, thank you so much for calling Absolute Wrestling Radio. We got to move on. We appreciate it, bro.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, let's go on to Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Mike?
We're doing fine yourself.
We're doing awesome. Did you watch UFC 99?
No.
Why not?
I was too busy with SmackDown.
You are a man
after my own heart.
All right, Mike, I love you, dude. Talk to us real quick. What's up?
I want to talk about two crybabies.
All right, talk about two crybabies.
Chris Jericho.
Jericho's one of them, thank you very much. And Edge is the other one.
Oh, Edge isn't a cry, but Edge is funny. I love Edge.
Edge is awesome.
But the cops be whining about hiding off the belt. Like, be a man and accept it.
Oh, are you kidding me? Did you see his interview with Vicky Guerrero on Monday?
Oh, my God. When he was like, I used you. It was all about that. I never loved you. Oh, my God. I can't believe, you know, I'm so happy we never actually.
I had to go back to the locker room and dry heave.
Yeah. And he's like,
come on. That's funny.
And he's like, thank heaven I never consummated this marriage. You know, oh, my God. How can you not enjoy that?
Now, my thing is, would he have pulled it off if Eddie was still around?
Well, no, but they would have never gone with that.
They would have never gone with that angle on the first one. She needed money, Mike. That's the thing.
Yeah, for all
she needed their kids. They have, like, what, six kids?
Yeah, for all the hate McMahon gets for being such a jerk and a hothead and, you know, talking trash on everyone and being so mean, guess what? When Eddie died, he gave Vicky a job, and you know what? Vicky is one of the most over heels ever. She was given a position, she was given a character, and you know what?
She did a very,
very good job with it.
Wait, you said overheeled? No, I disagree.
Okay.
Eric Bischoff was the most hated.
I don't believe that. I think at her height, I think hold on.
All she had to do was
All right.
I'll step back.
Two different types of heel. In one case, you got a guy that's running the show, and he's like a Vince McMahon. He's not just the general manager of WCW. He's also the guy that runs the show behind the scenes.
I'm sorry, but there's only one Vince McMahon, and I'm sorry, Bischoff does not compare to Vince McMahon.
Are you okay?
No, Mike. This is when Eric Bischoff was running WCW.
Okay, that's
the thing. What you're talking about when he was on Raw.
Exactly.
She's way more hated.
Yeah,
she's way more hated.
All she has to do is come out
Bischoff
and say two words, and everybody boos.
Bischoff.
Excuse me. And everybody boos.
Everyone boos. Period. Point blank. When Eric Bischoff would come out, people would actually wait to see what he had to say before he pulls the whole controversy is cash angle. They always wanted to wait to see what he had to say because sometimes he had something to say that was to their benefit. And sometimes he had something to say that was going to be detrimental to their favorite wrestler. But with Vicky, it's always bad.
The only person I've seen jump so far was Chavo.
Well, all right.
I'm wondering what they're going to do with
Chavo. Hey, you know
what,
Mike? Here's the beauty of it. Absolute Wrestling Radio is for the fans, and you're a fan. So that's your opinion, and we appreciate your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
We think that it's fair that you say that.
All right, thank you much.
All right, man. We'll talk to you
later.
Thank
you, Mike.
All right, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break on Absolute Wrestling Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about WWE Extreme Rules. We're going to talk about Brown Faber. We got to talk about Brown Faber.
Yeah, because we didn't do it last week.
Also, just to finish up the show... Tim Sylvia, what the hell happened to you, dude? We saw him at Strikeforce.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it didn't surprise me.
Dude got knocked out in 10 seconds by Ray Mercer.
That part surprised me, but it's Ray Mercer. So, yeah, he's 48. Yeah, but he used to be the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing.
So can Kimbo Slice knock out Tim Sylvia?
It's very possible.
I think it's very by virtue, Kimbo Slice can knock out Tim Sylvia.
When you look at the fact that Tim Sylvia's last two fights haven't gone over a total of 45 seconds.
Yeah, but he got destroyed by Fedor, dude.
And what's up with Kimbo being on the Ultimate Fighter?
We talked about that last week. I wish you would have been here.
I just think that's insane.
What have you been doing? Where were you last week? What were you doing last week? Were you over trying to find a great collie again? What were you doing? You don't even have an excuse. We're going to break. 314-969-1380.
I'll explain when we come back.
Give us a call. We'll listen to you.
This is Kevin Radham, and you listen to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Other people. Faber Brown 2, Andy. WEC Faber Brown 2 last weekend. Mike Brown walks into this match, even as the champion, as the underdog.
Yeah.
Everybody expected him to get his butt tagged.
Let me put it this way. WEC 36 or 37. I can't remember
which
one it was.
I think it was 37, actually.
Mike Brown, a relative nobody, goes in and fights Uriah Faber.
And Faber looked bad. He looked like he just wasn't prepared to fight.
Well, it looked like Faber decided that, you know, hey, I've been running champion for a couple of years now, and this guy's a nobody. I'm going to go in there and take care of business like I always do, keep my title, and boom, we're going to move on.
And that's where the whole bounce off the cage elbow that made him, it was weird.
Unfortunately, Mike Brown caught him and knocked him down and handled his business very well.
And it didn't even look like Faber actually was fighting. It really didn't. It looked like Faber was scared.
I mean, Mike Brown pushed Uriah Faber, and he like bowed up like an eighth grader who just got pushed, and he's like, I'm going to beat you. And then he's like, oh, wait, we're in a professional match here.
Let me gain my
composure again.
And then he got knocked down.
And then WEC 39, I believe it was. Brown and Faber, both of them had other matches. Brown with, I can't remember who. Faber took on Jens Pulver again, and they both won decisively, very decisively. So we knew that we were going to see Brown Faber too.
Right.
We knew it. And we did. And a lot of people thought that Uriah Faber
was
going to
come in. It was a good match.
Yeah.
It might have been one of the best matches of the year.
And it's very funny because a lot of people said if it goes the distance, it's going to go to Faber.
It's got
Mike Brown doesn't have the cardio. Because Mike Brown's a big, big featherweight. I mean, he walks around at 170.
Yeah.
So he cuts down to 145. Mike Brown took care of business for 5 rounds with Uriah Faber. Proved a couple points. First point, Mike Brown has the cardio to go 5 rounds with Uriah Faber.
It wasn't a fluke the first time.
No.
This dude dismantled his next opponent and then turned around and went 5 rounds with you and beat you. And here's the thing. He beat you in the eyes of other people. It wasn't a situation if he would have knocked you out, Uriah, then obviously people would have been like, dude, Mike Brown knocked you out. There's just nothing you can say about that. But this was everyone else who was watching's choice, and they were like, dude, Mike Brown. Even with all the naysayers, they said Mike Brown was still better than Uriah Faber.
Couple things. First of all, Uriah Faber, yes, he broke his right hand in the middle of the second round. That's why he kept saying, throw elbows. It doesn't help, but it still didn't matter. I mean, I really don't think it mattered. Right. The only thing it proves is the fact that Mike Brown's got an extremely hard head. I mean, Joe Riggs, we saw Joe Riggs break both his hands against Phil Baroni. And he was still throwing punches, even with both his hands broke. So, that's one thing. Two, I think Uriah Faber's moving down to 135. I think we're going to see a super fight between him and Miguel Torres. Because he used to wrestle in college at 133. So that's really more Uriah Faber's type thing.
Do you think that he can beat Miguel Torres?
It depends on if he can get in on Miguel Torres or not. Miguel Torres is notorious for throwing legs and knees, which all...
How about Miguel Torres move up? How about we go catch weight and just do it?
It might have to be a catch weight if they're going to do it soon, but Miguel Torres is actually defending the belt at WEC 42, I believe.
Yeah, he is. That's the nice one.
So it's going to be a couple months, but I can almost guarantee you're going to see Faber versus Miguel Torres.
All right, well, that's WEC 41. Let's run the card down. Mike Brown defeated Uriah Faber via unanimous decision. Jose Aldo defeated Cub Swanson. Oh, TKO God. Round 1, 8 seconds.
Opening bell, it was over.
It was a knee. Donald Cerrone defeated James Krause, rear naked choke, and Josh Grisby defeated Jens Pulver, which isn't good for Jens because that's 2 defeats in a row.
No, that's more than 2. That's like 3 or 4.
No, it's 3. There was Faber, and then the next one, and then that one.
Faber, the next one, Faber again, and then this one.
Well, I wasn't counting. I was going from the Brown Faber night.
Okay, but, even still, I mean, but you're still looking at 4 losses in a row. Either way, Jens, dude, I'm sorry, Lil Evil. I think it's time for Lil Evil to retire.
It's time to go back into the Jack in the Box, buddy.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
Put your horns up and get a
Man,
halo.
Man, we had a lot that went talking. On last week. Also, last weekend, WWE Extreme Rules 2009.
Yeah. Let's talk about flipping the script on something that we
I'm going to run this down really quickly. Wow. Okay? WWE Extreme Rules produced big results in the end. The World Championship changed hands twice. Chris Jericho broke his own record for most Intercontinental title victories. And Tommy Dreamer saved his career by winning the ECW Championship. Here's the fallout of the opening match. Kofi Kingston successfully defended the United States Championship in a fatal 4-way. And a no-holds-bar match for the Intercontinental Championship, Chris Jericho beat Rey Mysterio by ripping his mask off and rolling him up. CM Punk defeated Umaga with a Samoan strap match. In a triple threat match for the ECW Championship, Tommy Dreamer pinned Jack Swagger to go and win the title. Santino Marella beat Chavo Guerrero and Vicky Guerrero in a handicap hogpen match for the Miss WrestleMania crown.
It was hilarious.
Batista pinned Randy Orton clean in the middle of the ring, which was very impressive to me, to win the WWE cage match for Championship. John Cena made the Big Show tap out in a submission match and in the World Main Event ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jeff Hardy beat Edge to win the title. Immediately after that, CM Punk cashed in Money in the Bank, came out, and beat Hardy to win his second World Championship. Both reigns have come at the end of cashing in Money in the Bank briefcases. So let's talk WWE Extreme Rules. Andy, go.
All right, first, Kofi Kingston, we called that one. We called Chris Jericho. We called CM Punk beating Umaga. Triple threat match. You actually called Tommy Dreamer, and I agreed with you after the fact. After I called Christian, you explained your Dreamer angle, and I agreed with you, so we called that one. Santina versus Vicky, we really don't care. Batista versus Randy Orton. We both picked Randy Orton.
Yeah, I actually really believed that Randy Orton might actually pull this one out.
Yeah.
I just thought that it would do more for the business if as Matt always says, Batista's chasing the title, and they didn't think that.
Tyler called it last week.
Yes, he did.
He said Batista's going to beat him. John Cena, we called that one. And then no one. I don't think any of us expected the CM Punk thing.
And the CM Punk thing...
I did. Actually, when I was at the upper deck, right at the beginning of the Edge match, I was like, CM Punk won cleanly over Umaga. He's still in really good shape. He's prime. You just go out there and do it. And then everyone I was sitting with, I was like, just watch. Just wait. Just watch. And then boom, music hits. CM Punk comes out. I called it.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm happy with myself.
And here's the thing. I think WWE Extreme Rules was probably one of the better put together pay-per-views of the last year. I think if you get a chance, you really need to, when the DVD comes out, you really need to watch it, because the match between Orton and Batista was actually solid.
Boo.
I don't care what you think. CM Punk versus Umaga was good. The No Holds Bar match was really solid. I've watched the whole thing. Kofi Kingston match for the United States Championship was really good.
Now, did you hear what happened to Umaga after that match?
He got fired.
He got fired.
He got his future endeavored.
Well, basically
endeavored.
From what I read, from what I've read and what I've been told by people inside the business, he was actually planned to win that match, but he called for his own job. He's been suspended on wellness before. He's been suspended for bad attitude. He's been let go because of his bad attitude. But he came back, and he's been a solid performer. He's a good worker. He's a very over monster heel. But
he's Jamal.
All right, so
three-minute warning.
I got some questions real quick for you guys. First off, how long before Orton gets his title back, you think?
Well, he already got it back.
Oh, that's right.
No,
he stole it back, but he still has it back.
He stole it back. Now, I'm talking about how long before he
gets
it as Randy Orton, the champ.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow's Raw, there's a fatal four-way between The Big Show, John Cena,
Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Triple H returns.
No. I think Edge is in there. I think Edge is involved in that match. Because they had a match on SmackDown that had, that might have been for the Jeff Hardys.
There's a triple threat between CM Punk, Jeff Hardy, and Edge.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes,
interesting.
I think you know what I bet.
How long is CM Punk
going to
hold this title? How long is CM Punk going to hold this title?
I hope he holds it for more than a month.
He's going to hold it for a while this time. I think the first one was the month long to see how he did. He did very well. He had to drop the title. I think he's actually going to hold it for a while this time. And I think the person who's going to take it from him is going to be Jeff Hardy. I think
I hope not.
I think Edge is actually going to lose that match. All right.
Yeah.
CM Punk's going to win. But then I think Edge is going to do something to one of those four fatal four-way combatants, and he's going to get that title, and he's going to go to Raw.
See, this is just me being a Jericho mark, okay? Which everyone knows, it's not a secret. I'd like to see Jericho holding both straps. I'd like to see him at least once hold the heavyweight and the Intercontinental, and then, you know, next week,
vacate the Intercontinental belt. He does hold two straps, but we can't talk about that.
Now, here's the real question. Here's the real question. Last question. Tommy Dreamer saving his career for ECW. Do we think that this is here's the thing. Is this WWE just bestowing this upon Tommy because he's never had the title before?
He's had the title once before, but he only held it for like 5 minutes, I think.
I understand. But this is the first time that he's won a clean, big-time deal, blah, 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 blah.
And he's kept it for more than a day.
Okay, and kept it for more than a day. Is this WWE just giving him some love because he's Tommy Dreamer and he's a legendary ECW character? Or is this a real shot for Tommy Dreamer to run with the belt a little bit like Christian did?
So let me understand the question. Are they doing it as just like, hey, you're Tommy Dreamer, thanks a lot, blah, 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 blah. Or is it because he's a draw?
Or is it because he might be retiring too? Here's the thing.
Tommy Dreamer signed a new 5-year contract.
But here's the thing. We know that these guys are a lot of these wrestlers are kind of coming up against the brick. You know what I'm saying? How long before Shane, all those guys, how long before Triple H says, Randy Orton, let's get some more drinks in you there, Kenny G.
Oh, come on, you're going to have to stop, dude. Kenny G's done already passed out and seeing monkeys right now.
So here's the situation. How long? Well, I completely, you made me laugh.
I don't think Orton is that far. I think he's still got a good ten years.
He just recently even said that he has aspirations to follow The Rock and Cena into the movie business. And he would like to do that. That's something that he just recently said. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have much time left. I did want to say rest in peace to Mitsuharu Misawa, legendary Japanese professional wrestler. Yeah. I've watched many of his matches when I was coming up in the pro wrestling game. Someone that you really want to watch and kind of emulate and try to learn some things from. True lovers of professional wrestling. Misawa was a great wrestler. So awesome career that he had. And rest in peace, Mitsuharu Misawa from AWR. Yes. On top of that, TNA Slammiversary. That's going to be next week. Let's just talk about this last second, because we could talk about that next week. Tim Sylvia being knocked out by Ray Mercer, dude.
Okay.
Tim Sylvia, 10 seconds, dude. You didn't even have to. It was supposed to be a boxing match. They had to change it due to sanctioning rules to an MMA. So now kicks are allowed. You threw a kick, and then you got caught hard.
Well, here's the point. I expected Ray to win. Because even though he's 48, he is a former heavyweight boxing champion, which means this dude has got heavy fists. Like the type of fists that, I'm sorry, Tim Sylvia has never found before. Except for maybe in Fedor. But you know what? Ray Mercer still knocked him out 26 seconds quicker than what Fedor choked him out. Any way you want to look at it, dude. 6'8". I mean, you're a big dude, Tim. Trust me. And listen, we saw him last week at Strike, or a couple weeks ago at Strikeforce. He is a massive mountain of a man, but Ray Mercer, one right hand, and he got knocked ice cold. Put in the freezer!
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been Absolute Wrestling Radio for this week. My name is Mark Bland.
I am Andy Eckel.
I am Matthew Kruger.
And we want to say to you guys a few things before we leave. Very simply, Kenny G, Donovan Ruddick, the ball is in your court. Do with it what you must. But stop sending me emails talking about I'm a nobody, because I will get into your car and beat you down if I have to. Ladies and gentlemen, also, we want to thank Travis for running the boards today again.
Thanks, Travis.
If you guys need to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at www.absolutewrestlingradio.com. There's a new email address. Mm. New email address if you'd like to get a hold of us.
Really?
Yep. Questions@absolutewrestlingradio.com. That's right. Questions@absolutewrestlingradio.com, and you will it will be sent to me and to Andy and to Matt, and you will be able to talk to us. I mean, you can always hit the old Yahoo one, but we're kind of switching over from that. I mean, we have the absolutewrestlingradio.com, so let's use it. I guess next week is going to be, they're going to be at the Upper Deck again, probably for TNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's every single week. So other than that, Bob Sepp, you're not going to be here?
No, I won't be here.
We're going to try to talk to him next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Absolute Wrestling Radio, we appreciate it. We love you, fans. That's why we do this show every single week. Check out www.absolutewrestlingradio.com. We will see you next week.